Please turn in your Bibles to the book of Jonah. I would like to read from Jonah chapter 2. Please follow in your Bibles. Jonah chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. The Word of God says, "Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly." Well, let me pause right here. You remember how Jonah had been thrown out of the ship, and the whale, the Word of God tells us it was a whale, and the Word of God also calls it a fish prepared by God. So it calls both a whale, it's called a fish, that was prepared by God. Right here in Jonah chapter 2, he's in the whale's belly, and he's reflecting back here as he begins to pray. I want you to understand, you don't normally think of the whale's belly as being the safe place. But compared to where he had just been, the whale's belly was a safe place. When Jonah said, "From the belly of hell cried I," it wasn't while he was in the fish's belly. It was when he was down in the bottom of the sea before the whale swallowed him. You follow that carefully as we look now at Jonah chapter 2. The Word of God says, "Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said," now here he is in the fish's belly. This is his prayer that he prayed while he was in the fish's belly. "I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me." You see, he's talking about something that's just gone on, something in the past. "I cried," past tense, "by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice, for thou hadst cast me into the deep." Where had God cast him? God had cast him into the deep. "In the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed round about, the weeds were wrapped about my head." Do you see where he was? He was in a horrible condition in the bottom of the sea. Verse 6, he says, "I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet thou hast brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God." Thou hast brought up my life. Where was he? He was in the whale's belly. He was in the fish's belly. He says, "God, you have delivered me from the belly of hell." He was in the belly of the whale, but he had been in the belly of hell. The whale was a deliverance for Jonah. The whale was much for Jonah like the ark was for Noah, except there's a big contrast there, because Noah had done right and God instructed him to build the ark. Now, Jonah did what was right when he was down in the belly of hell. Do you know what he did right when he was down in the belly of hell? He cried unto the Lord. I want you to notice the wording in verse 4, and we're going to, well, let me read verse 7 and 6 and 7, and then we'll come back to verse 4. Verse 6 says, "I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee into thine holy temple." Now, go back to verse 4. He says, "Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again unto thy holy temple." And brethren, the main words that are on my heart this morning is where Jonah said, while he was down in the sea, he said, "I will look again unto thine holy temple. I will look again toward thy holy temple. I will look again." I want you to think about those words, "I will look again." Do you ever look again? Sometimes I lose my keys, and I'll go through the house, and I'll go through the house again, and I look again, and I lose my glasses, and I can't find them, and I look again, and I look again, and eventually, sometimes I find them, but usually, I have to call on my wife to help me find my keys or my glasses, but sometimes I find them. When there's something that you really need, when there's something that you've lost that's very valuable, and at this time in Jonah's life, Jonah had lost something very valuable. He had lost his fellowship with God. God had cast him down into the deep. And while he was down in the deep, you know what he did? He looked again toward the holy temple. How many times do you look again? Don't we all? And Jonah had looked toward the holy temple many other times in his life. Jonah had been close to God many times in his life. But at this time, he had been, by God, cast out into the deep. And he looked again toward the holy temple. I want to encourage everybody here that whenever you're like Jonah and you've disobeyed God and you've gone in the wrong direction, I want you to know that God would have you to do exactly what Jonah did. God would have you to look again toward the holy temple. God is different than we are. God is much more merciful and gracious than anybody in this building. There's nobody here that even compares to being as merciful and gracious as God is. And when you find yourself in the belly of hell, when you have gone away from God, when you have disobeyed God, and you are cast away from His presence. You remember how the Apostle Paul was concerned that he himself could become a castaway. Well, brethren, there are times that God casts us out of His sight in the sense that He's talking about here. And when we are cast away, when we have done that brings shame and reproach on the cause of Christ, and we're cast away, I want you to remember what you better do when you're cast away. You better look again unto God's holy temple. You better do what David said in Psalm 121 when he said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. You know how often I need to look again? I need to look again every day. Every day of my life, when I wake up, I need to look again. I'm not talking about right now because of disobedience. I'm talking about it's just that sometimes I take my eyes off of God and I need to look again. I need to look every day when I wake up. I need to look unto the holy temple of the Lord. I need to lift up mine eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help, because I need God's help every day of my life. So I need to look again and look again and look again. I need to continuously, eventually, I hope that before I die, I hope that I will be looking unto Him every day so that I don't have to take my eyes off of Him and look back and look again and look again. I hope that I will eventually reach a point that I am so close to God that I'm looking unto Him every day and I'm looking at Him and I'm beholding His face all the time and I can see the glory of God every day. But right now in my life, I take my eyes off Him sometimes and I have to look again. And then there are other times in my life that I have been cast out of His sight and He is in the process of chastening me, because the Bible says, whom the Lord loveth, He what? He chasteneth. And that's what God was doing to Jonah. It's not that God didn't love Jonah here. It's because God loved Jonah and Jonah disobeyed Him that God chastened him and chastened him severely. And Jonah knew what to do when God was chastening him. He looked again. He looked again toward the holy temple. So I want to encourage everybody here, if you're away from God, if you've strayed away from God, if in any area of your life you're not as close to God as you need to be, I want to encourage you, look again toward the holy temple. That's what Jonah did. And he was in the belly of hell and God lifted him up and gave him a deliverance, didn't he? That's what the whale was a deliverance. Now, you might not think that way, but you read it carefully and I think you'll see the whale was a deliverance. God gave him a greater deliverance and the whale eventually vomited him up on dry ground. That was a wonderful experience. And then he went to Nineveh and he preached to the people at Nineveh. And when he preached to them, they repented. And he should have been so happy, but he wasn't. And he got away from God again. You know, I would have thought Jonah, after being in the belly of hell and God saving him, I would have thought, you know, boy, Jonah's going to walk the straight and narrow path the rest of his life. No, it wasn't. 4 days later, till Jonah was messing up again. Same thing's true in mine and your life. Sometimes we're in the belly of hell and we cry and we look again unto toward the temple and we see the Lord high and lifted up like Isaiah describes in Isaiah chapter 6. I see the Lord high and lifted up and I'm so happy that God has blessed me again to see the beauty of the Lord in His holy temple. And I think, I'll never stray again, Lord. How many of you have ever thought those words or said those words, Lord, I've learned my lesson and I won't ever stray again. There's one song that I always really appreciate, and that is, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. I forget to keep my eyes on Jesus sometimes. the world begins to allure me, and I begin to take my eyes off of the Lord. And then when I begin to realize what's happened, I better do what? What are the two words that we're looking at this morning? I better look again. I better turn my eyes again and look in the direction that I need to look every day of my life. Every day, all day. You need to look again and again and again. Look to the Lord. In Isaiah chapter, let me just read this. We're going to go to the New Testament, but in Isaiah chapter 55, I want you to listen to verses 6 and 7. Isaiah 55, verses 6 and 7. The Word of God here is talking about how we do like Jonah did. We get away from God. If you don't think you get away from God, you're deceiving yourself. If you think you're always walking with God and always looking at the Lord, you deceive yourself. You're not doing it, and I'm not doing it, but I'll tell you, brethren, we ought to be improving. We ought to be doing better. I ought to be doing better every day. I ought to need to be growing in grace and in the knowledge of my Lord and Savior. I ought to be a lot higher. I ought to be on higher ground continuously. The songwriter says, I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. I need to see Him more clearly now than I've ever seen Him before. I need to know Him better than I've ever known Him before. If I'm following in the footsteps of Jesus, I'm going to continuously see Him more clearly, and I'm going to spend more time with Him, and I'm going to behold Him more and more until finally I'll be able to just say, you know, there's nothing in this world that compares with beholding the beauty of the Lord. And instead of having to keep looking again, I'll just always be looking at Him. Isaiah 55, listen please to verses 6 and 7. The Word of God says, seek ye the Lord. Now what do I do when I lose my keys? What do I do when I lose my glasses? What do? I seek them. I look for them. And that's what the Word of God is saying here. Seek the Lord. Now, brethren, you know who first found you? You know who found you first? God found you. You know who loved you first? We love the Lord because He what? He first loved us. So, don't get the cart before the horse. Understand the only reason you care about God, the only reason you love God, the only reason you see God, the only reason you know God is because God has shown Himself to you. God's reached down and just lifted you up out of that miry clay. You were dead in trespasses. You weren't sick, and God held His hand out. You were dead in trespasses and sins, and God reached down and quickened you and made you alive and put His Spirit in you. And then you began to know the Lord. And then God said, now follow Me. And for a while you followed Him and you felt so close to Him and felt so good. And then what happens? Well, He says, go do this or go do this. Just like He told Jonah, arise and what? Go to Nineveh. And he did half what God told him. He arose and what? Fled to Tarshish. He went in the wrong direction. You ever gone in the wrong direction? Every time you go in the wrong direction, you know what you need to do? Look again. Get your eyes back where they need to be. The only reason that David messed up so much that night in his life was because he looked in the wrong direction. The only reason that Adam and Eve messed up so much in the Garden of Eden was because they looked in the wrong direction. The woman saw, Genesis 3:6, and the woman saw. And all through the Word of God, we find the Word of God is emphasizing the importance of what I'm looking at. And I need to look again toward the holy temple to behold the Lord, the beauty of the Lord. David said one thing in Psalm 27 and verse 5. He says, one thing have I desired, and that will I seek after, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple, to seek the Lord, to behold the Lord, to see the Lord. Can you see the Lord? Can you see the Lord this morning? Can you see His mercy and His grace? Can you see the love of God? Can you see how much God loves you this morning? Can you see that He loves you so much that when you have done like Jonah did, when you have strayed, He's telling you right now, look again toward the holy temple. Look again. Come home. Seek the Lord. Isaiah 55 verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Now what is that telling me? That tells me that I can stop seeking the Lord and not seek the Lord until finally it's too late to seek the Lord. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Here, now listen. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. Now, you know you cannot return unto the Lord till you first look again unto the Lord. When you get away from God, you've got to first look in the right direction. Have you ever tried to go somewhere without looking in that direction first? You know what will happen when you try to go somewhere without looking in that direction? You can't seek the Lord. You can't return to the Lord unless you're looking again unto the Lord. Look to the Lord. Look again to the Lord. Return unto the Lord. The rest of this verse says, let him return unto the Lord, and God will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Is that what God did? When Jonah looks again toward the holy temple, what did God do? God had mercy upon him. God was gracious. God sent that whale. You don't like the whale, I'm telling you, brethren, Jonah was glad to be in that whale's belly. It was not a comfortable place. But, brethren, it was a whole lot better than where you had been before. And you and I, as the people of God, we need to look again so that we can get out of the mess we're in. And there's no way for you to get out of the mess unless God delivers you from the mess that you're in. You can't get out of depression. You can't get out of any problem that you're having without God helping you to get out. And sometimes God doesn't just help you. Sometimes God just reaches down and picks you up and sets you on solid ground. The prodigal son, turning your Bibles to Luke 15. You know what the prodigal son did after he'd gone out? You know what he first did? He looked where he shouldn't have been looking. He began to look out there in the world and see all the pleasures of the world. He saw all those pleasures and he began to look in the wrong direction. And he said to his father, give me my inheritance. And he took that inheritance and he began to waste. The scripture says he wasted his father's goods. He wasted his father's goods in riotous living. Have you ever wasted anything God's given to you? Have you ever wasted? And remember now, your life doesn't even belong to you. You're bought with a price. Somebody paid for you. God did. And he paid a price. Sometimes when I call somebody that's a little discouraged and despondent, I say, do you realize how precious you are? And they'll say, I don't think I'm precious. I say, well, you're precious because of the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for you. That's what makes every one of you precious in the sight of the Lord. You were bought with a price. He loves you with an everlasting love. He will chasten you. He will put you in the belly of hell. But when you look again, when you look again toward his holy temple, if he hasn't already cut you off, he'll begin to lift you up. So I want to encourage everybody here today, more than you've ever done before, I want you to look again toward the Lord. That prodigal son, when he began to look out there, and he went out there, and he began to waste his father's goods in riotous living, he went down, down, down. And finally, he was down to the point that he would have eaten the husk that the hogs were eating. He was living like a wild animal down there. He had lost all his friends. He had lost everything. And then he did what? What's the two words that he did? Okay, very good, Brother Neil. The two words that are used in this chapter is, he came to himself. That's the two words. He came to himself. And you know what he did when he came to himself? He did two more words. He what? He looked again. He looked toward his father's house. And he began to run towards his father's house. And as he began to go back to his father's house, he was looking again toward that special place where he had fellowship with his father. He had all the blessings of the house of God. And he returned unto the Lord, just like Isaiah 55, 6 and 7 says, return unto the Lord, for he is gracious and merciful, and he will abundantly pardon. Did you know you need abundant pardon from the Lord? Abundant pardon. You want that abundant pardon? Look again toward his holy temple. The prodigal son looked again to his father's house and went running back and said, Father, I have sinned against heaven. I want you to understand the sin wasn't against the father. The sin was against heaven. I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Was he stating truth? Absolutely. Did you know there's not a person in this building that in and of yourself is worthy to be a child of God? You're a child of God because of what God has done for you. You're not worthy. You need to see how unworthy you are. And you know what you'll do when you see how worthy you are? You know what you'll do when you get in that dark, dark area and see how filthy and ugly you are? You'll look up. You'll look again to the only one that can cleanse you. You'll look again to the one who gave you so much and you wasted it. And you'll say, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called your son. Let me be a servant in your house. And the Father will greet you, and he'll kill the fatted calf, and he'll feed your soul like you've never fed before. And he'll feed you, and he'll clothe you with those robes of righteousness, and he'll put shoes on your feet. And he'll say to the family of God, come, rejoice with me. My son has come home. My son, who looked away, has now looked again. Have you ever looked away from the Father's house? You ever gone away from the Father's house? I want to encourage you to look again unto the Father's house. Go with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 14 very quickly. Look in your Bibles at Matthew chapter 14. The Apostle Peter saw Jesus out walking on the water. And then Peter wanted to get out there and walk with Jesus on the water. Very commendable. Nobody else had that much faith, a lot of faith. However, there was a problem he had, because as he looked at Jesus and saw Jesus on the water, the scripture says in Matthew 14, you can read all of this in Matthew 14, 25 through 31, but for the sake of time, come down to verse 29, and Jesus said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now, if he walked on the water to go to Jesus, what was he looking at when he was going toward Jesus? He was looking at Jesus. Was he looking where he was supposed to look? Absolutely. He was looking right where he was supposed to look. And as he looked at Jesus, he was going to Jesus. But, verse 30 says, but when he saw. Now, when the scripture says, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Now, you know what he saw? You know what he stopped looking at when he began to sink? What was he looking at? When he began to sink, what was he looking at? That's right. He was looking at the waves boisterous. He was looking at the sea. He was looking at the troubles. You know what happens every time I look at the troubles and problems of life? You know what happened? I sink. I go down. And when I go down, you know what I better do? Look again. You know what Peter did? He looked around, saw the waves boisterous. He began to sink. But do you know what he did when he began to sink? He looked again. The Word of God says, Lord, Peter said, Lord, save me. And the Word of God says in verse 31, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? When did he doubt? When he stopped looking at Jesus. You know when you'll doubt? When you stop looking at Jesus. You'll doubt all kinds of things when you stop looking at Jesus. Did you know that you can even doubt that you're a child of God when you stop looking at Jesus? You'll doubt that God loves you when you stop looking at Jesus. You'll doubt, in fact, the devil will tell you, you can't go back to the Lord. He won't have you. You're too filthy. You're too rotten. You're too corrupt. That's what the devil will tell you. But I want to encourage you to look again and say the same thing Peter did. Lord, save me. Lord, help me. He wasn't talking about saving him from eternal hell to eternal heaven when he said, Lord, save me right here. He needed saving from a condition in his life that was a horrible condition. He needed to be saved just like Jonah needed to be saved when he was in the belly of hell. And he lifted up and looked again and toward the holy temple, and the Lord delivered Jonah. And now in Peter's life, he is again going down into the water, and he says, Lord, save me. And he looked again to Jesus, and the Lord lifted him up. Did the Lord rebuke him for not having as much faith? Yes, the Lord rebuked him, but still the Lord saved him. Was the Lord displeased with Peter? Yes, he was displeased with Peter, but he still had mercy on him, didn't he? We have a more merciful and gracious God than we can ever comprehend. How many times have you looked again? How many times have you had to go back to God? How many times have you strayed away from God? How many times have you rebelled against God? And then you looked again and you called on him again And God said, come home, my child, come home. The songwriter says, I've wandered far away from God. Lord, I'm coming home. I want to encourage you today. If you've wandered away from God, I want you to look again toward the holy temple. I want you to look again unto Jesus. I want you to lift your eyes up into the hills from whence cometh your help. Because our Father, He loves us with an everlasting love. God loves you just as much today as the day that He sent His only begotten Son into this world. God's love doesn't vary. His love doesn't change. God loves you. Go with me to 1 Samuel very quickly in your Bibles. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 17. I just want to mention this, and then we're going to go back to the New Testament. But in 1 Samuel chapter 17, the Word of God tells us about David. I've already mentioned how David messed up and looked at Bathsheba and all the hell that he went through there. But earlier in his life, David had his eyes looking right where they should look. When Goliath came out against the children of Israel, the army of God, when Goliath was mocking the army of God, and David saw what was going on, David was shocked that the army of God would stay in their holes instead of going out and fighting that giant. And he said, is there not a cause? And so David then began to go out and face that giant. But do you know what David did before he went out and faced that giant? You know what he did? He looked back. Now, I know there are ways you're not supposed to be looking back, but there's times you're to look back. Here's what David looked back at. He looked back at that time in his life that God blessed him to kill a bear. He looked back at that time in his life when God blessed him to kill a lion. And then looking at that and the power of God that blessed him to do that, that gave him strength. It encouraged him to go forward and fight the giant. And he said, the Lord in 1 Samuel 17, verse 37, 1 Samuel 17, verse 37, David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. Isn't that a wonderful blessing? Do you know how David got the... Do you know what helped David be encouraged and strengthened to go face that giant? Looking at the power of God that had already been manifest in his life before. How many times has God been with you, Brother David? How many times has this church been going through World War III? And we thought, this is it. And then God, as we look back and remember, okay, well, He helped us way back there. Maybe He'll help us again. And He'll help us again. And you know how many times God has helped you and helped me over and over? And it helps you to look back and see how many times God's delivered you. Physically. He's delivered everybody in this building quite a few times. He's delivered you from dying physically. There are many times spiritually that you've been far away from God and God has delivered you. You looked again toward the holy temple and the Lord heard your cry. You need to look again at how powerful God is and how many times God has performed miracles. He's helped you financially. He's helped you in family troubles. He's helped you in every problem you've ever been in. God has been there to help you. And you need to thank Him for being there and for helping you and for having mercy on you. Look at one other scripture in Mark chapter 8. I want you to think about this man in Mark 8. This was a blind man. He couldn't look, could he, poor old soul? Yes, he could. Did you know one of the people that has had the clearest picture of Jesus, one of the people that has had the clearest vision of Christ was, I started to say Helen Keller, but there's a songwriter. Do you remember her name? Fannie Mae Crosby? You read some of those songs that are in our hymnal that Fannie Mae Crosby wrote. She was blind. She saw the Lord very clearly. I would hate to lose my sight, but I think it would be wonderful if I lost my sight if I kept my eyes on Jesus all the time. Mark chapter 8, there's a blind man. Mark 8, beginning in verse 22, the Word of God says, and he cometh to Bethsaida, that is Jesus cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. You hear what he said? I see men as trees walking. There's a lot of lessons in this lack of clear vision. I see men, did you know a lot of people, that's how they still see men today. I see men as trees walking. I see men much taller than they really are. I see men with their limbs lifted up to heaven. I see men doing impossible things, trees walking. I see men as trees walking. I'll tell you what the reality is, completely the opposite of that. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Instead of doing impossible things, instead of always lifting up our arms to the Lord, instead of being so tall and mighty and giant and majestic, we're weak and frail creatures. We need God's help every day. So he first says, I see men as trees walking. After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up. You know what he was going to do now? He's going to look again. First time I saw myself as I was, son, I was good. First time I saw myself as I thought I was the best Christian on the face of the earth. The first time I looked at my, not the first time, but one of the times I looked at myself, I thought I was just, you know, God's more pleased with me than anybody else. I'm like a tree walking. I'm just a giant. You understand what I'm saying? God opened my eyes, and then I saw myself and every man clearly. You see that? When I think I'm better than I am, I need to look again. When I think I'm holy and righteous and feel self-righteous, I need to look again. Because if God will open my eyes every day of my life, even on the best day of my life, I'm not what I need to be. I need to be better. I need to grow. I need to look at Jesus. Because when I look at Jesus in His holiness and His perfection, you know how I see me then? When I look at Jesus and I see Him as He is, you know how I see me? You know how Isaiah said when he said, I see the Lord high and lifted up. You know what he said about himself? Oh, wretched man that I am. If you think you're so great, you don't see Jesus. When you see Jesus, when you look again at Jesus and you look again at yourself, you're going to say, I am not worthy. You're going to say like the Apostle Paul, I am the chief of sinners. I'm not worthy of even the least of his blessings. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. David said, I'm a dog. David said, I'm a worm. Had he thought differently earlier? Yeah. But you know what he did? He looked again at Jesus, and when he looked again at Jesus and looked at himself, he saw himself as he was. I pray that God will help every one of us today to realize I need to look again and again and again. In fact, Hebrews 12 says, I need to ever be looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 12, one of the great men of God prayed there, and he said, we don't know what to do. We don't have any strength, but our eyes are upon thee. Brethren, I'm going to tell you about our nation right now. We've got an election coming up. I'm going to tell you right now, folks, brethren, loved ones, there is no salvation in any political party. There's some parties better than others, and the platform is better, but just about everybody's sold out. Your only hope, the only hope for this nation is if we as a nation will look again to Jesus. So I want to encourage you, look again. If you're far away from Him, look again. Come home. If you need strength today, look again. Look back at all the times He's helped you. And no matter what the situations are, the Bible's full. I didn't cover one-fourth of what was on my heart to cover today, but I want you to know you need to look again. May God help us, is my prayer for Christ's sake.